Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Olami 613 Chicago with a live studio audience. Wow. What a live studio audience for an exciting podcast that we have for you this week. Well, we will give the big reveal. We are super excited beyond for this week. Wednesday, September 3rd, for the launch party. It is official. It is happening. Project 613 has been chosen to become an official member of the Olami Educational Network. We are rebranding to become part of this illustrious group of 300 plus Jewish educational outreach organizations literally all over the world, from Europe to the former Soviet Union to Israel to South America to North America, all over United States and Canada, Mexico, you name it, all the way down under in Australia, South Africa. It is a worldwide network. We are super honored and will be rebranded as Olami 613. Yes, we are keeping those beautiful numbers. As you know, those are the amount of mitzvahs, of commandments that we have in the Torah, and that has become our unique brand. In fact, many times people just call us 613 or 613. We're super, super excited. And this Wednesday at a very glorious downtown rooftop party deck, we will be celebrating with, probably around 150 plus young professionals and community members to launch this rebranded, new, but still classically old and warm and loving endeavor called Olami 613. We are looking forward to building this together with all of you. And so just a moment on the word Olami. What does Olami actually mean? So Olam, as you might know, means world. Okay, Olam is world, from the famous slogan, Tikkun Olam, to fix the world. Olam means world. Olami means a couple things. One is worldwide, which is very appropriate because it is literally worldwide, as you heard. But Olami also has another meaning. It also means world class. And that's really what this network is. It is a world class consortium of amazing Jewish educators who do things world class, who put their heart and soul and love into every class, into every Shabbos hosting, into every trip, into every program, and into every one-on-one meeting with the student, with a young professional, and it is world class. And that is why we are honored to have been chosen to join this amazing network. Now, it makes a lot of sense for us and for the young professionals to do this. There are a ton of organizations that Olami has been supporting that are now officially rebranding on college campuses. So just as there are other groups that when you go to college campuses, there'll be a seamless transition from campus to our organization, as well as from other young professional organizations when people move cities. In addition, there's going to be an incredible young professional network of weekend retreats and other trips and exciting opportunities. So it's really everyone benefits from this. And we are, as we said, super excited. There's one final meaning of Olami. Olami really can mean my world. Olam Sheli. And that is what my wife Suri and I want every one of our young professionals to feel. Olami. This is my world. This is where I feel at home. This is my world. So God willing, we will continue in the pathways that we've been carving and really launch to a next level. If you or any Jewish young professionals would like to join us this Wednesday, please be in touch, as it will be quite spectacular. Thank you for indulging me in that introduction, because it's really a beautiful community and you have helped to build it. Now, here we go for the motivation. We got a lot to do. It's Parsha Shoftim this past week, and Shoftim is judges. That's what it means. It talks about judges. Many people don't realize that the Torah is not only a personal guide, but it's a national guide about how to set up an entire Torah society. So the Torah portion begins, Shoftim v'shotrim titein lecha. You should put judges and policemen in all of your gates, b'chol sha'arecha, in all of your gates. And so this is on a macro level that this is describing that the Torah is telling you that you need a system of judges, a legal system, a judiciary system, and also an executive branch that is actually going to carry it out. It's one thing to have laws, but it's another thing to have an enforcement mechanism. So we see over here that the Torah stresses both. We need a legislative, like judicial type of branch, kind of molded together, as well as at the executive branch, which is the police force. Now, just on a macro level over here, we like judges that are honest. The Torah goes on and says that judges cannot be bribed. Okay. And so it's actually a very funny thing that in the American system, not all judges, but many types of judges are actually elected. You actually vote for judges, people who know nothing about law. Like I go on the ballot and I'm looking at these judges. I'm like, I have no idea. There's hundreds of them, you know, and I'm going to vote about that. It's like, I'm going to vote who's the best, you know, heart surgeon. I have no idea. Who's the best physicist? I don't know physics. I don't know who's the best physicist. Why would I have a vote in who's the best judge? And so therefore these judges have to get campaign contributions, and which are basically like bribes. I know actually someone, I mentioned this years ago on the podcast, who made his whole law practice based on financial contributions to different judges and betting on certain, you know, horses that are going to win, and then guiding their cases to those judges. And those judges would, wink, wink, give a favorable thing. I said, that's not honest. He said, that's business. Okay, that's how this law firm and law firms work. That's a bribe. That's not good. Now, in addition, we also like police. One of the beautiful things about learning Torah is that you can sniff out a false ideology almost instantly. So when you hear the slogan, defund the police, okay, that you right away, this did not take a rocket scientist over here. Defund the police. No, we like police. Police are good. Doesn't mean police are perfect. Doesn't mean that police can't do their jobs maybe better or not. But this whole anti-police tirade is an anti-Torah thing. If you go, anytime a police car drives through West Rogers Park, the kiddies on the street wave and show a tremendous amount of respect. Okay? And the police love our community because, exactly, we value the police and we value what they do. All right? Also, there's these, you know, nowadays, activist judges that are literally politicians in black robes who are going way beyond what their mandate is. And again, you see, you can sniff out a false ideology once you are rooted in Torah. So that's the macro idea of what's going on. But now let's take it down to the personal level. That when we read the verse, it said, Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecham. And all the commentators jump out of their seats and say, wait a minute. Really, this is given to the whole Jewish people. It should say, Shoftim v'shotrim titnu lechem, plural. That it should be given to you, all of you. Why is it in an individual verb form? And the answer is like this, is because many times, almost always, the Torah can be read on many levels, the macro level, but also the personal level. And therefore, this is a exhortation. This is the Torah urging us that not only does the society need judges and policemen at the gateways of the city, but we also need these judges and gateways of our personal selves. And the Kabbalists say, and talk about this at length, that there are seven gateways of the human body, and they're all in our head. We have two eyes, we have two ears, we have two nostrils in our nose, two ways to go in, and one mouth. And you do not need advanced mathematics to figure out that what? That adds up to 7. Okay? And so we need a judge by each of these gateways to determine what goes in and what goes out, to determine what is appropriate to see, what is appropriate to listen to, what is appropriate to smell, meaning smell means an environment. The rabbis explain that when you're smelling something, that means it's symbolic of your surroundings. Are we in the right place or not? And the final one is your mouth. What are you eating? What are you ingesting? And also, what are you saying? What are we saying? Now, the funny part is, and the irony the rabbis point out, that eyes, ears, and nose have 2 cavities and only 1 covering. The eyes have the eyelid, the ears have the lobes that you can put in, and the nose, you can just squeeze your nose and you close it up. But the mouth is so dangerous, it can be so lethal, that it actually has 2 layers of protection, as 2 guards, as it were. It has the teeth, as you clamp your teeth down, and also your lips as well. And so therefore, that's a little hint that the mouth potentially can be the most dangerous, with evil speech and potentially not eating the right things. Now, okay, so it's not enough that we have the judges there. So how do we know what the judges should be? How do we know what in the world is appropriate to go in and out? And that's why we learn Torah. There's certain appropriate things we should see, certain appropriate things we should hear and listen to, certain environments we should be in and not. Okay. And so therefore, that's why there are extensive laws of keeping kosher. There are extensive laws of what we should say, what is appropriate to say. You're not supposed to talk smack about other people. Okay. But if your friend is about to go out with an axe murderer, then you shouldn't say, oh, well, it's inappropriate to share that information. No, it's a mitzvah to share that information. If a friend is about to go into a business deal with someone who's no good, not only can you say something, you're obligated to say something, but there are very intricate laws of what these judges by our different cavities going in and out should be telling us to do. In addition, now is the next level, is the police. What in the world? How are we going to guard and make sure that our ideas are going to be implemented, that the right thing actually happens? So let's talk about the eyes. The eyes, I cannot fathom how any family, how any person can have an unfiltered internet. You heard me. I do not know how any person or family can have an unfiltered internet. Everything that's on there, one click of the button, and people are in disastrous places that ruin marriages, that ruin families, that children growing up. How can you give your child an unfiltered iPhone? What's out there? It is absolutely, it's like giving your child a cup of poison and a cup of Coke, you'll drink from each one of them. It is totally irresponsible. And therefore, that is why you will see in the observant Jewish community that there's filters on everything, because those are our policemen. Those are our policemen policing what we are seeing, okay, what we are hearing, okay, and what environments we are taking ourselves to. Now, we are entering a time of the year. We've just entered a time of the year called Elul. Elul is the name of the Hebrew month that is literally right now, we just started it, preparing for the high holidays. It's a period of growth and reflection before Rosh Hashanah. And it's really a perfect time and very easy way to work on our gateways, And I wanted to focus on one thing. And this area of focus is something that I try to work on all year round, but especially now. And I was inspired once again by Rabbi Victor Miller of blessed memory, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, his member be for a blessing. And he brings an unbelievable Gemara that my Rebbe in Israel, Rav Moshe Chait of blessed memory, would bring down. And the Gemara says something absolutely incredible. And it says that Tov Hamalbin Shinaim Lechavera Yoser Mimashkeo Chalav. It's better to show your friend a smile with your white teeth than to give him a drink of milk. It's an unbelievable thing that when we smile at someone else, it is more nourishing than giving him or her a glass of milk. And my Rebbe used to say a glass of warm milk. Okay, there's a Gemara in Ksubas 111b. And it is an unbelievable thing. This is a classic Slobodka Musar. Slobodka was one of the key yeshivas that dealt with the Musar movement of ethical improvement. And they focused on this. And the Alter Slobodka would talk about how nourishing it is. Milk is nourishing. A smile is so nourishing. You imagine someone is waking up and they're trudging through their day. And they're grumpy. We all get grumpy. And then someone flashes them a smile. And it just lights them up. It warms them up. And it's not hard to do. It's just not hard to do. And it's nourishing spiritually, emotionally. We all need a pickup. And someone just comes and gives us an unbelievable smile. By the way, I think as an aside, this is why people like their pets, right? Because their pets come, the dogs at least come, they slobber on them. Right. Okay. And they feel good. Okay. That's this concept, but you don't need to be a dog to do this. You can be a human being and do this for everyone. And what I'd like to share is Rav Victor Miller, quotes a very famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which is, Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai says you should have a Mekabelis Kol Adam, in Sever Panim Yafos. Okay. Which means that you should really greet everyone with a smile, with a big smile. Greet everyone. Now, what does that mean? So he breaks it down, okay? That it says, Kol Adam, Hevi Mekabel is Kol Adam. Every person. This is not only the people that you like, it's even the people that you don't like, and that's very difficult. Besaver. Saver means like a language of svara, which is thoughtful. It should be a thoughtful. You should put thought into how to smile in a way that will impact the person. Punim. Punim means your whole face. How many times, oh, I'm guilty of this, right? You walk by someone and say, hi, mom, hi, dad, hi, whoever, and you're just walking straight by and you don't turn your face. We have to turn our faces. This is, it's a whole art how to give a right greeting and a right smile. And the final one is yafos, is brightly, is beautiful. A beautiful, thoughtful, full frontal smile to everyone. Wouldn't this be a massive achievement if we could do this? If we could work on this, that we could flash a big, beautiful smile at a few people a day? Wouldn't it be unbelievable? It would change them and it would change us. Rav Isa Salanter, the founder of the Muslim movement, actually one of the motivations of him founding the movement was when he was a little boy. During Elul, this time, he saw a grumpy man who was working on himself spiritually and had a scowl on his face. And Rav Isa Salanter's little boy said hello and the man gruntled back. And he said, wow, this guy's ethically improving himself and being grumpy and not smiling back. He said that he's missing the point. As a little boy, he saw that he's missing the point, that he needs that even though inside we might be heavy and intense and we're dealing with our stuff, externally we need to be shining a beautiful smile. And I'd like to finish with an unbelievable story. And this is a story about the Klausenberger Rebbe, one of the great giants of the previous generation. He was, every day, he would take a walk and he would walk by his neighbor. And his neighbor, Mr. Muller, who was German, and he would say Shalom Aleichem with a big smile to Muller. I'm not saying the German right, but Mr. Muller. And Mr. Muller would say, good morning, Rabbiner. And they would do this ritual pretty much every day, the Klausenberger Rebbe smiled at his non-Jewish neighbor. And sadly, the war broke out and the Klausenberger Rebbe was brought to the camps. And as he was being processed, the Klausenberger Rebbe looked at the Nazi officer who was processing him. And he said, "Good morning, Herr Müller." And Mr. Müller looked up and said, "Good morning, Rabbiner." And he put him in the line that saved his life. The Klausenberger Rebbe was not smiling at his non-Jewish neighbor in order that one day he would be saved from the horrors of the of death in the camps. He was smiling at his neighbor, his non-Jewish neighbor, because it was the right thing to do. And he brightened his life, and therefore even this evil, cruel Nazi soldier, it made an impression and ended up saving the Klausenberger Rebbe's life. God willing, we will be motivated during this amazing month of Elul to take this on as much as possible, to smile a thoughtful smile, a full frontal smile, and a happy smile to Kol Adam, to everyone, even the people that we don't like, and especially the people we do like. God willing, with that, we will lift ourselves up and lift others up as well. God bless. Have an amazing week. And we look forward to seeing you again right next here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.